Welcome back, 418, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Outgoing Defense Secretary Leon Panetta testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee this morning. And I guess he answered all of the questions listed in your story in today's Washington Times, right?
Okay, thank you very much. I guess we're done then. No, he did not.
Oh, really?
There was no discussion about, for instance, what happened to Ambassador Stevens on the night of the attack. We know that, you know, his body had disappeared from the diplomatic post for quite a while before it turned up at a hospital in Benghazi. There was no discussion of that. What he did, what Secretary Panetta did reveal for the first time was that it was actually he who informed President Obama that the attack was underway. That's the first time we've heard that, and there were a few details about the role that President Obama played on the night of the attack from the White House, or, as some people argue, did not play.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I sort of got the impression that the president was not really involved in anything real time. He was kind of, you know, I guess he was kind of kept up to speed after things happened.
Well, the example that Panetta gave was that President Obama, two things. One, he wanted to give the responsibility to the cabinet members overseeing that, and that would be Mr. Panetta himself, as well as General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who both were arriving at the White House on September 11th for a pre-scheduled weekly meeting anyway, and they heard that the attack was unfolding as they arrived at the White House, so the president's response to them was to go ahead and do whatever you need to do in order to protect our people there. So beyond that, what Mr. Panetta points out is that there was a much newsier protest during the day. If you'll recall, the images that were moving around the world on TV screens that day were of a pretty large protest at the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, where the American flag had been torn down. I think that what Mr. Panetta was saying is that President Obama was talking about that before. You know, it wasn't clear in this hearing how many details that they had out of Benghazi at 4 or 5 in the afternoon on September 11th. But I think that the overall takeaway was that President Obama, it's not clear yet whether he was told that the ambassador was missing then or was killed then or what, but that his response was to give Mr. Panetta and Mr. Dempsey and General Dempsey the power to respond however they felt fit.
Did he reveal who was watching the live streaming of the event? I know that was one of the questions that you had in your story.
Well, first of all, that would, to get the answer to that question would presuppose that anybody in an official position in Washington could even use the word drone comfortably. I mean, as far as I know, it's like classified. So did they reveal where the drone footage was going, for instance, that was on the surveillance, a remote control airplane that had been dispatched over Benghazi on the night of the attack? No, they did not. There has not been an answer to that question yet.
All right. Do we know which officials in the administration were actually involved in the decision-making?
Yes. Well, that would be General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mr. Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, and President Obama. It went all the way to the top.
Okay. Now,
this hearing today was not a complete bust.
Okay, and that was one of the questions I was going to give you toward the end of the interview here. You know, at the end of the day, did we learn anything? And I guess we have. Now, I played some of the audio from the hearing a little while ago, and it seemed as if Panetta was deflecting the real responsibility to the State Department, even saying the Defense Department isn't a 911 center.
Right.
I found that odd.
I think that, you know, this is going to, again, this is one of these things, Andy, that in my years of watching these things unfold in Washington now, this is an argument that we saw in the post 9/11 days and months and years where it doesn't really matter whether it's Democrats in the White House or Republicans. There's always going to be this kind of turf battle over who gets to do what, and then when something goes wrong, a sprint to deny whose fault it was.
Well, so, the reason I say that is because everyone was so careful not to slam Hillary on her way out the door, and to me, this was sort of a slap at Hillary Clinton today.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, that Hillary Clinton performed. She did if you want my honest opinion, I think she did a better job deflecting the questioning from senators than Panetta did today.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things also that this was before a different committee today. This was the Senate Committee on Armed Services,
right?
Which has members like Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire, who's been really hard and serious on the Benghazi investigation, as well as Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Lindsey Graham's a former prosecutor, as you know, and when he gets somebody in the spotlight, he likes to really grill and crank up the heat, which he did today pretty aggressively, trying to get an answer as to how it could possibly be that the Obama administration had not characterized this incident as separate and different from the other protests within the 5 hours that it was happening. And Lindsey Graham asked right out, you know, you're telling me that 5 hours into this, not a single was a single airplane launched anywhere in the world in response to help the Americans that were under attack there? And really the answer was that other than a couple of cargo airplanes that were dispatched to ultimately evacuate Americans that had survived, the answer was ultimately no. Other than the drone that had been dispatched.
Yeah. The other thing that I found strange about the hearing today, and again, I didn't get to watch it all, but I watched enough of it, and Panetta used the opportunity to kind of twist and turn this into a talk about the effects of sequestration. And I was surprised he wasn't interrupted. He went for three
I wouldn't blame him for that. I would blame the senators for doing that. And that's something that I pointed out in the walk-up story that we had on the Washington Times website last night and throughout this morning, which was that you've got to ask yourself, are these senators actually focused enough at this point, 5 months after this attack, to ask the relevant questions? And if the Hillary Clinton hearing 2 weeks ago was any indication, then the answer to that question is no. So they came into this, Carl Levin on the Democratic side, Lindsey Graham on the Republican side, James Inhofe on the Republican side, they came into it bringing up sequestration themselves. So I really think, just to give Panetta a little bit of credit on that one, he was there basically answering questions that they had asked of him.
Yeah, but it didn't deal directly with the embassy attack in Benghazi, and I found it surprising he was allowed to go 3 minutes and nobody interrupted him. And you know, quite frankly, he was doing the work of the president. He was giving the
delivering
argument,
delivering a talking point.
Yes,
sure, absolutely. Well, look, I mean, two things on that. One, I think it would be naive for us to assume that Leon Panetta would not show up, regardless of the topic of the hearing, to deliver a few discrete talking points. This is the man who was the head of the CIA for how many years, okay?
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Strategic PR. The second thing is that I think the administration, you know, was probably ready to play defense from the get-go on this.
Yeah. All right, now, having this hearing today, and I'm assuming it's over, I don't think we're going to hear from Panetta again on this. Who else will we hear from on this, or is this whole investigation sort of fading away?
I think it is sort of fading away. I actually went and had a quick conversation afterwards with Senator Graham from South Carolina there, who's really, you know, brought this up again and again, and he said that he just felt that, you know, it was appalling. The responses today, it was appalling overall for the families of the victims that there weren't more answers. So I could see the possibility down the line that there could be future hearings on this, but there's so many other things on the immediate horizon for Congress that it'll surprise me, unless there's a call for some sort of another independent official investigation. But, you know, I think the most unfortunate, as we sit here kind of, in this case, talking about the first draft of history, but as we sit here writing it, is that there really hasn't been much focus as of yet on the question of who did this.
Yeah.
You know, that's really been lost in this very political fight, and on both sides. I mean, as much as the administration has spun this thing from hour one, so have the Republicans attempted to use it to criticize the administration again and again and lose focus in hearings where the main subject of the hearing becomes, well, what about the talking points? Not the question of, well, who did this?
Yeah.
I mean, was this related to Al-Qaeda as the narrative was put forth by the Bush administration over the last decade that had been led by Osama bin Laden, or was this Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb? Is there a new threat in the Maghreb in North Africa? And why aren't there any suspects at this point? And is the war zone that has become of eastern Libya something that the United States needs to pay closer attention to because it could be breeding ground for a much larger attack like what we saw here 12 years ago on 9/11. Mm-hmm. I think those questions really haven't come up very deeply in any of the hearings that have been held, and they absolutely certainly were not discussed in the accountability review board that the State Department report came out with a month and a half ago, and they certainly weren't on the table in today's hearing either. So that I could see the possibility that there will be lawmakers that would push for some kind of a commission that could look into the question, or a series of follow-up hearings during the year ahead that would look into who did this and how has the intelligence community and the State Department and the Defense Department responded to this. How will it play into the annual threat intelligence threat assessment as well? These are questions ahead.
Yep, I agree. All right, Guy, as always, thanks for your help. Appreciate it much. Have a great
night. Thanks, Andy. Have a good one.
Yeah, it's Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. 429, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Stay tuned. A lot more to come. We're going to check in with Washington Times homepage editor Doug Ernst in just a minute, find out what they're working on, and political editor Stephen Dinan also on the way in the next half hour here on 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.